I'm going to ask you to make your way to your seat. We can go ahead and get started, please. I've said it before, but I don't think it's probably appropriate for me to say from the pulpit, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think Passion Community Church is one of the most fertile places that... it seems to be when we pray for kids that the Lord answers those prayers. Paul, Becky, you started it, by the way. Just want to let you guys know, okay? Yeah. By the way, who had had on the bingo calendar of the year a eclipse, a aurora borealis? How do you say it? However you say that? Yeah, borealis. Thank you. And then also a tornado. I mean, what are you guys doing in Brimfield there? I mean, hey, I know Chaz and I don't go golfing enough at that golf course, but now you slept through the whole thing. Okay. Wow. Yeah, tornado hit Brimfield. If you didn't know that last night, hit the golf course in Brimfield. It happens to be Chaz and I's favorite golf course, so that's just a sign. I took that as a sign that we're not golfing enough, and we need to be out there. So, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 36. By the way, to add to that, there is a scripture that says there'll be wonders in the skies, in the sun and the moon and the stars. Things that make you go, just saying, right? I don't know. It was a beautiful, I have to repeat what Corey kind of mentioned. It was a beautiful night. I mean, we were just overwhelmed with God's beauty and what he was doing in the skies through the northern lights. All right, we started last week, we've been doing this series of sermons for several weeks on the signs. And again, I want to be very clear on this. I've said this multiple times. I'm going to probably continue to say this. First of all, when we talk about the signs, what we're talking about is that Scripture gives us signs of the times that are to come, that are coming. And we have to be very, very clear, because I want to make sure that no one hears me speak about this and then walks away and says, Pastor Jason said that the end of the world is coming tomorrow. I did not say that, and I will never say that. Scripture is very clear to us. Jesus in his own words in Matthew says to us, no man knows the hour or the day. He did not, however, say, we cannot tell the seasons. And just like you can with the leaves changing in the fall and the cold weather coming in winter and the flowers coming in the spring and the heat coming in summer, you can tell a season that you are in. And so when we look at these signs and we start to look at these things, what we are talking about is that we are entering what we believe is a season. And who knows how long God's seasons are, right? We have no idea. But I want to, last week we were talking about Israel, and I preached on Israel, and I preached on Israel because of twofold. Number one is that I knew it's important. It's in the news today. Everywhere you look, you see protesters about Israel. It's very important that we have a Christian view of the nation of Israel and how we need to take that view. Because what's going on in campuses and college campuses around the world today, they are not fully informed of what's going on. And they also don't come to this in a Christian sense, in a Christian view. And so we talked about the support of Israel last week. But this week what we're going to do is we're going to start looking at the signs that the nation of Israel has completed. That's in Scripture. Other signs that point to us that the end times. Do you know that in... when Israel became a nation, that was one of the greatest signs to point to the end of the world, the end of time when Jesus comes back, I should say, that could have ever been pointed to. You could not have tribulation or rapture or whatever you want to call it, whether you're a mid, post, pan, whatever you say, by the way, if you've never heard of panologist, that means whatever pans out happens, right? So, that may not be technical. That might just be mine, but that's okay. Actually, it's not mine. I've heard it from other places too. So, but when Israel becomes a nation, this is something that Scripture has to have been fulfilled before we can even look at anything else that's going on. And we talked about that last week. We're talking a little bit more about that today as well. Again, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. We're going to be reading in verses 24 through 32. Ezekiel, a great prophet, is speaking to the country of Israel, and he says, I will take you from the nations. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your And from all of your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will deliver you from all your uncleanliness. There we go. And I will summon the grain and make it abundant and lay no famine upon you. I will make the fruit of the tree and increase the field abundant, and that you may never again suffer the disgrace of famine among the nations. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourselves for your iniquities and your abominations. It is not for your sake that I will act, declares the Lord God. Let that be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your ways, O house of Israel. Now, one may ask, why am I using this verse for a verse about Israel? And that's a wonderful, in support of Israel, I should say. That would be a wonderful, and that would be a right so question to ask. Number one, I want to say this, and then we're going to pray and we'll jump in. But number one, I want to tell you that Israel has, from the very beginning of time, God called out his people. He made the Jewish people his chosen people. He called them out. That doesn't make them better than any of us. It doesn't make them better than anyone from any other country. It doesn't make them better than any Muslims or Palestine. You know how hard I worked on that this week? I'm looking at Lena because we were laughing about this earlier. Anyway, it doesn't make it better than anyone else, right? But God chose these people. He chose them. Now, what did they do? Since the very beginning of time, they have made mistakes over and over and over again. It's clear and it's abundant. In fact, they've made so many mistakes that God just finally said, listen, I got to do it myself. He didn't just decide. I should say that God foreknew and had the knowledge of all of this. But he sent his son to do this. But there are some very important things that you have to understand. When God says to the people of Israel that he is going to take them from the nations and gather them from their countries and bring them into their own land, God fulfills every promise that he ever gives. You have to understand that Scripture, this book right here, as you read through this, there's many prophecies and many scriptures, but every single one of them will be fulfilled in the end days. Every single promise that God has ever made, every single promise that God has written about, every single prophecy that's in this book will be fulfilled. Nothing from this book will be changed because God will fulfill it. And so we have to understand that when God says that he is going to make a nation, he fulfilled that. That's Israel. Israel, the country, has now come upon us. And we read in Ezekiel 36:25, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from your uncleanliness, and from all of your idols I will cleanse you. And we see that God is saying all of these things. And what is he saying? What he's saying in Ezekiel 36 is that he's going to save his people. He's going to save his people. But then he also promises something, the most amazing, wonderful thing that could ever happen. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. I will put within you, and I will move the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. What God is speaking about here is that he's giving us the heart of Jesus. He's talking about he's going to put this into his people. And his people are going to be full of love and full of all of these things. And when he says his people, what he means is he's not just talking about the people of Israel. He's talking about any single person that comes to the salvation message of Jesus Christ. Because we are his children as well as the people of Israel. All of us here are. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ and you have accepted him, this is why we often say, ask him into your heart. Why? Because Jesus wants to give you a new heart. He wants to turn you away from your old ways and turn to the new. Let's pause and pray, and then we'll continue on. Father, we thank you so much for how wonderful you are and how much you do love us and how much you do give us a new heart. Lord, we thank you for the beauties of all the things that we've been able to witness. It's been a banner year so far, Father. It really has. The beauties, your just amazing artistic ability has been shown throughout the world, Father, and we're so grateful for that. So thankful for that. Lord Jesus, we ask you today that you just help us to understand and grasp a hold of the message that you'd want us to hear today. That you would open up these scriptures to our eyes and help us to see how you are already working, and the signs are clear that not only should we support and love Israel, but we should also see the signs that you have talked about in scripture and know the seasons that we're in. Not that we know the hour of the day or that we're even going to try to guess, Father, but that we do know that we are entering into a season or are in a season, Father. But it's nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing to be scared about. It's nothing to go to the hills about, Father. It's, more importantly, open our hearts to you and welcoming you into our hearts today, Father. Lord, help us to do the will that you have given us to do. Help us to do your will, Father, so that we can see many come to a salvation message for you in these times that we are in, Father. Let us be like the men of Issachar, Father, who not only could understand the seasons, but know how to respond to the times that we live in. Lord, let us be like those. Lord, I pray that my words would not be my own, but they would truly be your words, Father, and that you would guide and direct us as we go about learning about Israel and how to see the signs that are being answered today. We give you the glory, we give you the honor, we give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. So Ezekiel goes on to say a whole bunch of wonderful things. I will sprinkle clean water on you. I will give you a new heart. I will remove your stone of heart. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will deliver you from uncleanliness, and I will summon the grain and make it abundant, lay no famine upon you. You have to understand that when Ezekiel is giving this prophetic word to the people of Israel, what they are experiencing is some of the greatest famine that they've ever experienced before. There has been famine over time, over course of time. You can go through and you can look at the history of famines. You can look at the history of droughts. You can look at all of these things. By the way, if anyone has ever been to Israel, you know what the most geographical feature of Israel is? A desert. Right? Keep that in mind. If you look at Israel, you look at the Middle East, most of the Middle East, most of Israel is in either rocky, and there's very few fertile plains, thank you. Most of them are just desert. It's hard to grow something in the deserts. I want you to understand that. I don't know if anyone's ever tried to plant a garden and then never watered it. What happens to that garden? If you get a dry season, it dies. We're lucky to live here in Ohio because we have some will call it lucky, but we live in a place where there's lots of rain, right? We get more rain here in Ohio than we get most places around the country. In fact, we're one of the most humid cultures, in terms of rainfall, I should say, and we get a lot of moisture from the sky. The Lord blesses us with that. But there are many places around the world that do not get that. It's very dry and very arid. So when you read in Ezekiel that he's not going to cause famine, but he's going to cause all of these things to happen. He not only says that he's going to make the grain and increase the field abundant so you'll never again suffer the disgrace, but he also talks about the fruit. I will make the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field abundant. You have to understand that when Ezekiel is prophesying this, the people of Israel are probably going, wait, we live in a desert. How is this going to be possible? It's interesting, you'll find out here in a moment, but there's some interesting things that the country of Israel answers in terms of signs. The first one, before we go any further, before I get off track here, I just want to say the very first prophecy that this country of Israel has answered is the return of Israel as a nation. We have never been, up until the point of Israel becoming a nation, none of the end times, none of the things that you read in Revelations, none of the things you read in any of the other end times theologies that you can read in Scripture could have ever even come close to being true because Israel was not a nation. Some would say, I enjoy listening to David Jeremiah, and David Jeremiah says that in his lifetime there has never been such a greatest achievement to see the end times of the Bible being achieved than the country of Israel becoming a country again. Now that happened in 1948. And so we find that on May 14th, exactly, if you want to be exact, on 1948, Israel was born. And a fulfillment of Scripture in many locations, but especially the one that we just read. Ezekiel 36 says that he's going to call back. You know that when Israel becomes a nation, what happens is before this, you know what happened is World War II. There's many Jews that have left Germany. They have left middle. They have left everywhere. They've gone. They've run. Many of them ran to the United States. I don't know if you know, but the United States up until just recently had the greatest population of Jewish people ever. We had more Jewish people in the country of the United States than we did anywhere else in the world. Anywhere, that included Israel. And so you have to understand that for many, many years, they ran, and they should have. They didn't want to be concentration. They didn't want to go to concentration camps and face Adolf Hitler and all of those things that had happened, the terrible history of our world. But interesting enough is that when Scripture tells us that it will continue to thrive and when Israel becomes a nation, up until 1948, that was impossible. But in 1948, this becomes possible, and we find all of the people of Israel, of Jewish descent, returning to Israel. So will it in the coming days that it was not true until 2006. You know, in 2006, something unique happened. In 2006, there was never a nation in the world that had more Jewish people in it than the United States, but that changed in 2006. In 2006, the number of exiles from the United States going back to Israel and people that owned a dual citizen, I should say, increased to the highest number it ever has. And today, Israel is the home to more Jewish people than any other country in the world. This was not true until 2006, by the way. Why is this important? It is important because in Ezekiel 36, in Ezekiel 37, in Ezekiel 38, in other places, it says Isaiah talks about the Jewish people returning, the descendants returning to their homeland in droves. It is happening before our eyes. Today, we can truly say that this sign of Israel becoming a nation and the Jewish people returning to Israel has now already occurred. But it hasn't only just occurred. Do you know that the population of growth of the United States, anyone know what the population growth of the United States is? 0.5%. We're not growing fast enough. In fact, they say that eventually at some point in the coming years, our nation will no longer be all Americans, or will not be driven, our majority will not be Americans, it'll be immigrants. Because of the number of immigrants coming into our nation and the lack of, this is funny that we're talking about this, babies being born. See, Corey, we are a fertile. We're living up Scripture. We're trying to hold Scripture up here and be a fertile church, right? And make sure that we're having the babies here. So, just kidding. But The truth of the matter is that we are 0.5%. We're not growing fast enough in a country to remain a country as the way we have been in years past. At some point, the number of immigrants will overtake the number of natural-born U.S. citizens. That's going to be happening roughly within the next 20 years. This is next 20 to 40 years, I say. This is also true for most nations around the world. This is true for Europe. This is true for South America. This is true for Mexico. This is true for Canada. This is true for the UK. This is true for any of the wonderful countries of, like Denmark, Norway, and those other places. This is true all over the place, except for a few different places. Number one, Africa. Africa has the highest number. This is funny. They have the highest number of births. They're somewhere around 2.5% of their population growth every year. Now, what's prevalent in Africa? Famine, drought. But they are growing as a nation. The only nation that is not Muslim that is growing today is Israel. Israel is the only nation that is actually growing positively that is not a Muslim nation today. In terms of overall population, I'm not talking about religion, I'm not talking about anything else, I'm just talking about overall population. Israel is growing at a rate of 1.6%. I'm sorry, I said 0.5% for the United States, it's actually 0.68%. You have to be somewhere above 0.75 to 1% to keep your population in check in terms of the immigration that's coming in. Of course, the immigration of our country has caused that number to even decrease even more. But the return of Israel as a nation is touted in Scripture as one of the biggest prophetic signs that we can have. That Jesus is coming back again. And we see that all over Scripture. Luke chapter 21, verse 20 through 24 says, "But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart, and let not those who are out in the country enter it. For these are days of vengeance, to fulfill all that is written. Alas, for women who are pregnant, and those who are nursing infants in those days, for there will be great distress upon the earth and wrath against the people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled." Now one would say, what's going on here? What's happening here? We see, and as we read this is in Luke, obviously. Luke is sharing this. These are the words. And he says, "But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, they know that the desolation has come near." You know what happened in 70 AD? In 70 AD, there's something very amazing that happened. What happened is that the Roman army marched into Jerusalem. They kicked every single Jewish person out of the city of Jerusalem, and they destroyed the temple. It was the last time the temple has ever been built in Jerusalem. That was the second temple that was destroyed. The Roman soldiers came in. Not only did they destroy the temple, but they also killed, raped, and destroyed any Jewish person they could find in the city. They wanted to eradicate, if you will, the Jewish people. And so they were pushing them, not only pushing them, they were either pushing them out of the city or they were killing them. It was an amazingly terrible time to be a Jewish person at that time. So when Jesus talks about these things, when Luke writes and we talk about these, "But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies and know that its desolation has come near, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains and those who are inside the city depart." This has already been completed. Jerusalem was already surrounded. The armies of Rome surrounded Jerusalem. It went in, it destroyed the temple, it drove the people out. In fact, they said that close to a million, I should say, people died, 70 AD at that time. The only Jewish descendants, most of the Jewish descendants that lived, were Christians. You know why? Because they remembered the prophetic word of Jesus Christ, and they talked about it. And so where did they run to? They ran to the mountains and hid in the caves surrounding Jerusalem, and they lived until Rome removed themselves from Jerusalem, and then they went back into the city. This is an amazing history event, because when we read these things, when you read Scripture, I want you to know that we don't just read Scripture and say, oh, this might happen. No, everything that's in Scripture is fulfilled, Everything in Scripture is either being fulfilled, has been fulfilled, or will be fulfilled. There's nothing in Scripture that will not be fulfilled. But this particular verse, the majority of it has been fulfilled. Except for one most amazing thing. At the very end of this verse, it says, they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by Gentiles. Do you know what happened from 70 AD all the way to 1948? The Jewish people were spread out all over all nations. They were trampled under the foot. That's when Adolf Hitler came, the concentration camps, many years before that, World War I. And you have Napoleon. Who's the Soviet counterpart in Italy and other places. Mussolini, yes, destroying Jews. I don't know if you knew this, but he actually also destroyed Jews, many Jewish people, during World War I. And so we find this is happening. They're being trampled underfoot by Gentiles until the end of times. And then at the very end of this, until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. What does that mean? What that means is that there's going to be a time when the chosen people of Israel have been scattered, which they have been. That's done. The temple has been destroyed. That was done. What happens is that now they have spread out all over all nations. That has been done. And then Ezekiel 36 comes by and says, oh, by the way, yeah, we're going to call you back into a nation. Guess what? That has been done. And what happens is that we are living in a time today of what's called the time of the Gentiles. Why is it called the time of the Gentiles? Because remember, Gentiles are people who are not of Jewish descent. We are all Gentiles here. But if you know Jesus Christ, you're grafted into the people of Jewish descent. We have become part of the people of Jesus Christ, with Jesus, through Jesus, I should say. But this most amazing thing that happens is that they will fall by the edge of the sword, they will be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. May I ask you a question? I want to ask you this very simple question. Jerusalem was trampled under the foot of the Gentiles by Rome in 70 AD, had been that way all the way. Even when Israel becomes a nation, where's their capital? Today it is, yes. Today, it is in Jerusalem. But for many years, leading up to just what has happened most recently, it's been Tel Aviv. It's been other locations. It hasn't been, they viewed themselves as Jerusalem, but the outsiders, everyone outside the world, did not view Jerusalem as the center of Israel. And so what we find that happens is one of the other signs is that Jerusalem is going to be restored as a capital of Israel. We find in Isaiah chapter 27, verse 6, in the days to come, Jacob shall take root, Israel shall blossom and put forth shoots, and the whole world with fruit. But you, O mountains of Israel, shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people Israel, for they will soon come home. The people of Israel have come home, but then also this very interesting thing that happened is that, I read ahead. I shouldn't have read that verse. That verse doesn't match with what I'm talking about here. Luke 21, when Jerusalem is surrounded by armies, it says these things. But you know what happened on December 6th of 2017? Anyone know what happened on December 6th of 2017? The United States officially proclaimed Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Now, what would some say? Why December 6, 2017? Who cares? This was fulfilling prophecy, because the time of the Gentiles, the United States, the other countries around the world, has now officially recognized Jerusalem as the center, the capital of Israel. This is a huge deal. You know why it's a huge deal? Because there's many Muslim people who are fighting over Jerusalem. The Muslims are fighting against Israel because they want to view Jerusalem as their own. But when the United States and other large nations come in and they designate Jerusalem and they restore it as the capital of Israel, what's happening is at this time, if we go back to Luke 21, 20 through 24, they will fall by the edge. This time of Gentiles are being fulfilled. This prophecy that's just been written behind you is now was fulfilled on December 6th of 2017, with Jerusalem becoming the capital of Israel. Some may ask, who cares, right? Why is this such a big deal? This is such a big deal because, again, nothing in this book, everywhere you read, whether it's Isaiah, whether it's Luke, whether it's Matthew, whether it's Revelations, whatever it is, everything that's been spoken about in this book has to be fulfilled. And as we go through this list of things about the, not only the country of Israel, but we go through these lists of things, as you begin, you can start putting check marks on things, right? Check mark here, check mark here, check mark here, check mark here. And let me tell you, the list of things that are unchecked is fast, quickly growing smaller compared to the list of check marks that have already been done. One of them is the center of Israel being Jerusalem. Now, let's read Isaiah 27, verse 6. In the days to come, Jacob shall take root, shall blossom and put forth shoots, and fill the whole world with fruit. But you, O mountains of Israel, shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people Israel, for they will soon come home. Now, I want to ask you again. I asked you this question before. Israel is known as a desert. Israel, if you go to Israel today and you drive around Israel, you will see that most of the land around Israel is a desert. And so for this prophecy to come true, as Isaiah is giving this prophecy, you have to understand, how can a country that's mostly desert, mostly mountains, mostly fill the whole world with fruit? Isaiah didn't just randomly come out with this. You have to understand this. When Isaiah is giving this prophecy, he's not just going, oh, wouldn't it be fun if Israel just provided the whole country or the whole world with fruit? That'd be neat. What happened, though, is that Israel has fulfilled the earth with fruit. Do you know that in 1960, a new process was created? It was called drip irrigation. Do you know where this was? Yeah. This was built, manufactured, created in Israel in 1960. What has happened since is that the very wet, humid climate that we live in wouldn't need drip irrigation. But the very desert, dry, arid country of Israel, if they're going to grow anything, they need to figure that out. And you know what they've done? They've not only figured out how to do drip irrigation, but you know, Israel is the largest country today that actually can do desalination. Anyone know what desalination is? Did I say that right? It is taking of salt water from the sea, taking the salt out of it and making the water useful. Today, if you go down to the ocean and you pick a big cup up and you go to drink it, guess what? It's not going to be very good. But what happens is that they are the largest producer, the largest country of creating a process of called desalination, meaning taking the salt away from the water, bigger than the United States, bigger than any other country in the world. So not only in 1960 did they begin this thing called drip irrigation, but now they actually have a process of removing water from the oceans, taking the salt out of it, and making the water useful. And so what has been the result of that? The result of that has been they are one of the greatest producers of fruits. Israel is in the whole entire world. 80% of the fruit that they grow actually gets exported from their country of Israel to other countries, to many countries that are actually today attacking them for what? In fact, Israel is feeding many countries from the very fruit that they grow inside their own country. They are also, by the way, taking care of many of the people that are attacking them in their own hospitals and doctors and those types of things as well. But this is important. Israel shall fill the earth with fruit because, again, all prophecy has to be fulfilled. And what you are seeing right now before your eyes is prophecy being fulfilled. It's amazing to see this. Now, I'm going to go quickly through this one because we've already talked about this. But everything that I've talked about up to this point has already been done. Every one of those prophecies that I just talked about has been done and completed. All of them are completed. What we are now looking upon and what we are focusing our eyes on is the next greatest thing that's going to happen in Israel, and that's the rebuilding of the third temple. Let me tell you, when the third temple is built, grab a hold of your socks. Make sure you have clean underwear on because it's going to get crazy. But I have talked about this a few weeks ago. We talked about the red heifers and the rebuilding of the third temple. I will tell you that I've just recently heard from some Jewish rabbis that they are planning on doing the actual sacrifice of the red heifer in the next 3 or 4 months. Now, whether that's actually true or actually happens, who knows? But the temple, again, if you remember what we said a few weeks ago, the temple, the third temple cannot be built until there's a priest that has been cleansed. The only way the cleansing can happen is if the red heifer is sacrificed and the ashes of the red heifer is placed upon that priest. There has to be not only a red heifer, but there also has to be a priest. A priest has to live by certain statutes and certain understandings and certain beliefs and things. He has done all of those. There's not only just one, but there are now 9 priests ready to be cleansed to oversee the building of the third temple. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you understand how close we are to actually seeing the third temple. Do you know that there will not be a fourth temple? There will not be a fifth temple. This third temple that's going to be built will be the last temple that we will ever see on this earth. Because what happens is when that third temple is built and it ushers in the beginning of what some would say Revelations. You can open up your book of Revelations and start reading through, because the game is on. Let's put it that way when that happens. And it's not on like Donkey Kong. It's on like God's word is on. So you have to understand that the rebuilding of the temple is very important. This has not yet happened, but it is getting ever so close. And when we see these priests cleansed through the ashes of red heifer, that is just yet another sign that this is going to happen. Romans chapter 11, verses 1 through 6 says, I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means, for I myself am an Israel, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Do you not know that scripture says of Elijah, how he appeals to God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets and they have demolished your altars, and alone I am left and they seek my life. But God's replied to him, I have kept myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. Wonderful book of Romans. That, by the way, we're going through this on Bible study. Come and fill Dunkin' Donuts with us on Thursday. You'll have a great time. We eat and talk, and we're going through Romans, and this is just great. But I bring this up because this is very important. Right now, if you go to Israel, the majority of the country is Jewish people. The Jewish rabbis, the Jewish people that go to temples, those such things, do not believe in Jesus Christ. I don't know if you understand that, if you fully grasp that, but the average Jewish person does not believe that Jesus Christ was their Savior. They do not believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. They believe that he was a good person that came on this earth, that suffered and died and did all of these things. But they do not believe. They cannot accept the fact that Jesus called himself the Son of God, first of all. And they can't accept that he and his Father are one, as he said. They saw his miracles. They saw all of these things. For whatever reason, and we don't have enough time to get into the idea of God and whether their eyes are being blinded or their hearts are being cold, whatever it is, they have not yet believed that. Except for, if the end of time is going to happen, we have to understand that all things are going to be fulfilled. Again, if we look at this, one of the things that's going to be fulfilled is that according to Romans chapter 11, verse 4 and 5, so too at the present time there's a remnant chosen by grace. Do you know that the fastest place that Christianity is growing today? Anyone know where that's at? One of the fastest places, let me rephrase this. One of the fastest places that Christianity is growing today by population size is Israel today. It's an amazing fact. Think about this for a moment. In their own country, this Jewish country, there is a remnant of believers that has been growing within Israel. Up until just previously, 10 years ago, you could not say that there was even close to being called a remnant of believers in Israel. But Messianic Jews today are growing at such a high rate. It is surprising. Some of the most fertile ground, some of the best places to plant a Messianic Jewish church is not here in the United States, by the way. It's in Israel today. I know personally of two gentlemen who left the United States, went to Israel to plant Messianic Jewish churches in Israel today. This is an unbelievable fact. Romans chapter 11 tells us that this is going to happen, that there's going to be a remnant of people. Why? Because for so many years they've been so quiet. They have been, their eyes have been blinded from seeing Jesus as the Messiah that he is. But yet in the end times we know that they will see Messiah. They will see Jesus. Jesus is coming back. When he comes back, he's coming back not only for his chosen people, but he's also coming back for all of us as well. We are told repeatedly in Scripture that a remnant of Christian believers will remain in Israel all the way through the end times. If you read Revelations, you see that in the book of Revelations, there is a numerous amount of people that stay faithful to Jesus Christ. The hard truth about Israel is that their rejection of Jesus, God never rejected them, but they rejected Jesus. This is the hard truth. When you sit down and have a conversation with a Jewish person, the hard truth is that they have rejected Jesus. But there is a group of people that have not. Christianity is growing at a very rapid pace. Christianity right now is growing by over 2%. Now, while that may seem very small, compare that with every other nation in the world. The only other nations where that Christianity is growing quicker than it is growing in Israel is in China, is one of the places, yes, whoever said China, but the other places are Muslim nations. Do you know that right now, untold thousands of Muslims are coming to Christ because they're seeing Jesus in their dreams? No one talks about this type of stuff, but thousands and thousands of Muslims are coming to know Jesus Christ because as they sleep at night, Jesus is visiting them in their dreams. And they are waking up in the morning going, I need to follow him. Do you know that right now, just this past week, 500 Christians, new converts to Christianity, were killed in Africa because they had a dream of Jesus, woke up, asked to be saved, and then when their country found out what they did, they came in and killed them. 500. And we cry because we can't wake up on Sunday morning to come to church. Every other nation in the country is not seeing growth of Christianity at all. Do you know that here in the United States, not only is Christianity not growing, but it is falling at a very fast pace. Christianity is falling at about 15%, the latest number that we have received, and some say it's even higher than that. The Middle East and Israel is the only place that we're seeing a growing population of Christians. Do you know that the greatest places, the largest places that immigrants of Christianity go to once they become a Christian in a Muslim nation, do you know where they go? Israel. They don't stay in Saudi Arabia. They don't stay in Iraq. They don't stay in Iran. They don't stay in Syria. They don't stay in any of those countries. When they become Christians, they go to Israel. By the way, that used to not be the case. They used to come to the United States, but they are choosing not to come to the United States now and go to Israel instead. This remnant of believers that is being built in Israel is nothing to... You have to pay attention to this. You have to have your eyes open to see this. What I've just told you is that there has been five signs of the country of Israel, and there are many, many more that I haven't even mentioned. There's so many that's going to happen in the country of Israel. Go through the book of Isaiah and read Isaiah. Some has already happened. Go through the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel 36, 37, and 38. Wonderful prophecy about Ezekiel giving to the country of Israel. All of these things are being fulfilled right now before our eyes. Now, why do I talk about this? I talk about this because, listen, this is yet another sign of the season that we are in. And let's be very honest. I want to be as honest with you as I can be. Israel plays the most critical role in the end times. America, by the way, is not in any of the end time prophecies. You can read the book of Revelations. You can read what, why, I don't know. All I can tell you is that America is never mentioned in the book of, in any of the books of prophecy. Russia is mentioned, by the way, which we're going to get at in in a few weeks. Other countries, Iran, Iraq, Greece, Saudi Arabia, all of them are mentioned in Scripture. Europe is mentioned in Scripture, by the way. I don't know if you know, but at the end times, the Roman Empire will come back, and there will be a Roman Empire, and it will be stationed in Babylon, of all places. And we know how Babylon is viewed in Scripture and what happened the last time. But America is not in there. I don't know why. I'm not speculating. I'm not saying that we won't be here. I don't know why we're not in Scripture. I don't have your answer for that. But I want you to know that we are not, but all of these other things are. Israel is. And so every time we see something, this is why today, when you see signs of Israel, you have to pay attention. When you hear about the uprising against Israel, you have to pay attention. When you see people protesting against Israel, pay attention. When you see talks about the temple being rebuilt in Israel, pay attention. But don't just pay attention to these things. Find out what Israel is doing, because God has blessed that nation. And they have blessed that nation, and through that nation has come Jesus, through Jewish people has come Jesus. But not only that, is that Israel has blessed many, many nations, providing some of the greatest exports of fruit, medicine, water purification. I could go on and on. Technology, one of the greatest producers of technology to protect themselves as a nation, comes from Israel. Yeah, no fake. I would too if I was being surrounded by and being attacked all the time. I'd figure out how to defend myself real quickly too. Over and over and over again, Israel is a sign for us that we have to pay attention to. I want to say that I, like Paul, understand that many Jewish people have missed the boat. One of my greatest disappointments in life is that the Jewish people have not yet seen that Jesus is their Messiah. Because they need to, and they will. So at some point, every knee on earth shall bow before Jesus Christ. Whether you're an atheist, whether you're Jewish, whether you're a Christian, whether it doesn't matter what you are. I don't care what religion, I don't care if you know religion, you're going to bow before Jesus Christ. Scripture tells us that. That prophecy, that statement in Scripture will happen. But the question is where will you be when that happens? I say all of these things because I want to be very clear to you, and I want to be very, again, upfront with you and encourage you not to get, we have a habit of seeing these types of things and getting afraid. Of looking at this, we have a habit of reading Revelations or reading tribulation things and saying, oh my goodness, a third of the earth is going to have this and a third of the earth. No, listen, the beauty of all of this is that God has given us the ability to see these signs, to prepare, yes, but also to say, Lord, I love you and I can't wait for your return. That's what this is all about. That's what we have to be focused on. This is what we need to be looking at. The Jewish people have missed the boat. My question is, all of this makes me wonder, have you? If Jesus was to return today, would you be ready? If all the signs in Scripture were fulfilled, would you be ready? Would you know where you're going beyond a shadow of a doubt? Would you know that you are chosen and loved by Jesus Christ? Do you have a relationship with Him, and are you working through that relationship with Him? I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward, and will you stand with me, please? Do you know that today, this is a little off topic, but today we are absorbing data at a rate faster than ever before. We have been for many years, by the way. This number has exponentially been growing. And what I mean by absorbing data, what I mean is that, back before, in the mid-80s, before IBM comes out with a personal computer and Macintosh comes out with those data processors, the computers would fill a whole entire room. I don't know if you've ever seen the old processors, the old computers. They're huge. And had less technology in that whole entire room that would fill this room probably two or three fold, had less technology in that room than we do in our pockets right now by carrying our phones. With that technology increase has also come something that is unexpected and an issue, I believe, but something that we haven't been able to grasp a hold of, I believe. And that is the absorption of all the data that we have. Today, if you have a question, guess what you can do? Google it. right? By the way, you don't even have to type anymore. You can go, hey, Siri. I hope everyone's phone's now starting to talk to them, right? Hey, Google. Hey, Siri, do this, do that. What's this? I laugh because my wife and I will be having a conversation. Right in the middle of the conversation, she'll go, hey, Google, what's this? Or, hey, Siri, what's this? Is it really?
Yeah, it is.
Oh. See, they're listening everywhere. Okay. But because of that, what happens is the data that we are receiving is coming at such a high, fast pace that I believe it makes our world a very crazy world to live in. And because at the speed of which the clock of timing is speeding up, what I mean by this is that if you look around the world, I know for all my life I used to say, man, when I was young, time went so slow. Now, every day that I get older, time goes by so fast. And there's a lot of truth to that. As the older you get, I think the time goes quicker, right? Does it really? No, there's still 24 hours in a day. There's still 60 seconds in a minute. There's still 60 minutes in an hour. I almost couldn't do the math. I'm looking at you, Chaz, because I was like, help me out here, buddy. But the truth of the matter is that we are absorbing so much data right now. We are at our fingertips, there's so much data. Now, that's good. There's some good things about that. Because, listen, when I was young, when I needed to find something out, guess what I had to do? I had to go to the encyclopedia or the Bible or whatever, and I had to leaf through the pages. Now, if I have a question, I can pull up my phone, wherever it is. Hey, what's the answer to this? The reason why I bring this all up is because sometimes we just have to simplify things. We have to cut through the noise. We have to cut through all the data. We have to cut through everything that's going on. Now, I know I just gave you a lot of data, and I have been the last few Sundays. But we need to cut through all of that and just say, listen, there's a few things that we have to understand. Number one, God is good all the time. Thank you. Okay. Number two, He loves you and He loves me. But number three, the season that we're in. We're in a season. Whether you want to admit it or not, we are in a season. Even the absorption of data that we are receiving today is prophesied in Scripture. I don't know if you know that, but it is prophesied in Scripture that men will retain more information the closer we get to the end days. And we are. You know what happened in the Tower of Babel when they built the Tower of Babel? They're trying to be like God. What did God do? He came down and destroyed the tower because He said they cannot be. They cannot, left to their own devices, this is what's going to happen. No one got mad. They just had to leave, by the way. They didn't stop out mad. But the truth of the matter is, and I'm going long, I'm sorry, and I'll pause. I'll stop here in a moment. Is that we have to simplify things down, and we have to understand that, listen, all of the mess that's going on in the Middle East, all of the mess that's going on geopolitically speaking, all around the world, all of that is a crazy mess that's going on, but we have to simplify it down to this. God loves you. God loves me. Jesus died on the cross for us, but He loves Israel, and we have to watch the signs that are coming. Know the season that we're in. And let me tell you, simplifying it down to that, we are in a season. I would happen to even say the leaves are starting to fall from the tree if you want to use fall as that season. And so where are you at? Are you ready? The signs of Israel and all of these other things are wonderful, beautiful pictures of what God's going to do in the end times, but we better be ready. God better find you with your lamps trimmed and burning and ready to go because He's coming back. And we need to be in that place. So let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for all that You've done and all that You will do. We glorify You, Father. We honor You. We praise You. We thank You for all of the blessings that You've given to us. We thank You for the country of Israel. And although we may not understand everything that's going on, we ask You that You help us to love those people as You love those people, Father. Help us to see the signs and to know the signs, but to be prepared. And Lord Jesus, we know that You're coming back soon. We look forward to that day, but we want to be ready. And part of that being ready is that we are turned from our sin and that we are walking with you, that we are walking towards you, that we have repented of our sin, and that we lived our life. It's not just simply saying a prayer, Lord Jesus. It's just it's saying that prayer, accepting you in our heart, but also more importantly, turning away from our old ways and turning towards you. And so, Lord, help us to do that today. Lead us and guide us to walk in your ways as we glorify you and honor you and praise you. If there's someone here today or watching at home online that's never given their life to Christ before, may today be this day where you say, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I thank you for what you did on the cross. I ask you to come into my heart, and then I ask you to help me turn away and to walk towards you. Help me to do that, growing closer to you every single day. Lord, we love you, we glorify you, we honor you, and we praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's worship together. Thank you for moms that are not only here in this room with us, but are also spread out around this wonderful country and this wonderful world that we live in, Father. Lord, we thank you for them. We ask you that you just bless them on this day. May you honor them. May you help us to honor them, Father. May you bless them, Lord Jesus. Help them to walk every single day closer to you. And Lord, we ask you that you send us forth from this place, not afraid, not scared, but prepared, looking towards the future of what you have for us and that wonderful day when we will all be called home to celebrate with you together in eternity. We thank you so much and all that you've done for us and all that you will do. We glorify you, we honor you, and praise you now in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. If you haven't got your picture taken, please do so. But have a wonderful Mother's Day, and we'll see you again next week.